Blog Talk Radio.
There's a sound on the ocean, and it's moving this way. If you're so bad and you hear, you will surely drift away. There's a sound on the ocean, and it's moving this way. If you're so
That was the Bishop Ronald E. Brown. He says that there is a storm out on the ocean. It's moving this way. If your soul is not anchored in Jesus, he says, it will surely drift away. Welcome to another episode this July 13th, 2018 of Open Mic with Tennessee Senate District 19 candidate Reuben Dockery. Yours truly is here again to open up discussion and have dialogue. As you perhaps have heard me say before, there are three prongs to my campaign in this election cycle. That's voter education, voter organization, and active voter participation. How you can participate tonight, how you can be organized, and how you can be educated and informed, and we'll work together to make sure we all get there, okay? 657-383-0944. If you're listening and you're following me via the live stream, you can call me. We're online right now. We're on air on our podcast radio station. And the number for you to call in tonight and be a part of this conversation, again, is 657-383-0944. I'm grateful that you are here. Hey, my friend, how you doing? And feel free to call in. I don't mind any questions. I don't mind any comments. If you're on Facebook and you just want to register your question or comment or thought via the Facebook app, you can do that as well. Shoot it on there, and we will share with our listening audience and bring up that conversation. I want to have dialogue with you. That's the purpose of this. So for the next 42 minutes or so, that's what I intend to do with you. But what I want to do is to give a little background and context for our topic tonight, which is how to survive Nashville's rising economic tide. Now, you've heard me say before, no doubt, that a rising tide lifts all boats by virtue of buoyancy. However, if a vessel, a boat, has a hole in it, has a crack in it, and its integrity is threatened, it's likely that the mere pressure from the water on the gravitational pull will cause that boat to sink. Allegorically, that's where we are today. Not long ago, during our May 1st and 2nd, 2000 flood, Nashville received more than 13 inches of rainfall. It raised the Cumberland River and several other banks beyond their regular levels. This flooding devastated areas throughout Nashville and its surrounding counties, taking lives, literally, as well as destroying homes, businesses, and roadways. Ultimately, this massive community response, though, to this travesty, this tragedy, was great. 25-some thousand volunteers were reported to put their hands together to help clean up and restore these areas greatly affected by it. Now, that was a great thing. Here we are in 2018, and there's another type of tide that has come in. It's an economic tide. Are we opposed to economic growth and development? Absolutely not. We need more of it. But the problem is the tide has come, and there are some people, good people, that here all their life whose vessels are damaged. And as everybody else ride with the tide, they fall. That's a significant issue, and that's what we're talking about tonight. I promised to speak of this last week, and so that's what we're going to do for the next maybe 10 minutes. But you can prepare yourself to call in because I want to have dialogue with you. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is Open Mic with Tennessee Senate District 19 candidate Reuben Dockery. Grateful to have you on with us, either following us via the live stream or you listen to us via podcast. If you're out of town, that's all right. Give me a call, 657-383-0944. I'd be happy to engage you in conversation and dialogue. At the end of the day, what I want is for each of you who hear this now or later or will tune into this broadcast to understand that I'm not running for office just because I think I deserve to be there, but I'm running to serve the constituency. See, first, I'm a voter. I'm a resident here for 31 years. I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I'm an educator, a community activist, a nonprofit founder and director, fathead guy. You understand? What I am is you, and what you are me. And at the end of the day, we all have been affected by where we are. I was at a public forum the other day, and one of the questions that was asked was relative to how we're going to deal with some of the issues that are here. And that's really what we're talking about tonight. Okay? And I ended my comment by saying that if everything was fine, in order, prosperous for everybody in Tennessee Senate District 19, I would not be running this year. I would have no need to. But the reality is they're not. And while there are some good people running, both on the in the Democratic primary as well as trying to lead into the general election, which, by the way, is November the 6th. That's where you'll find me. You won't find me on the August 2nd ballot, but you'll find me on November 6th. And we know there'll be three people. It will be myself and two other individuals, one representing the Democratic Party and another independent. But all you really need to know is that Reuben Dockery is the agent for change. All right, so let's get to it. Let me take you to the website again, because this is our educational tool. This is our instructional tool. Constituent Advocacy, that's one word, .com. Constituent, C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-E-N-T, A-D-V-O-C-A-C-Y, .com. Constituent Advocacy, .com. Let's go there. And when you get there, you're at the home page. What I want you to do is to go hover over the white letters that says candidate platform, and underneath that you should see podcast presentation. We're going to click on that, open that up, and once we do so, we will be at a point where we can actually see certain types of presentations, video presentations that are previously recorded. Well, we want to go right down to the one with the title above it that says Voter Education Series, Part 3, Current Status of Tennessee Senate District 19 Issues of Importance. We're not going to look at the video right now, but I do want to direct your attention to the PDF file. You can follow me as I go through this, share this information. And you, if you're watching this live stream video later, you can do the same thing. All right, that's the most important thing. Okay, so now that you know where I am and how I got there, here we are. What I want to talk about right now is this economic tide that has got people against one another. All right, and then I want to summarize that this brief presentation with some things that can be done to address those things. All right. And who are the people I think are against one another? These are new residents that have come to Nashville within the last 5 to 10 years who now are being blamed for taking over neighborhoods and literally robbing people of their resources. I'm talking about native Nashvilleians that have been here all their lives. Okay? Well, the truth of the matter is that we've been voting for people, you and I, to represent us in government, and they've done a poor job of letting us know collectively about resources and opportunities that will improve our quality of life, such that when economic opportunities and growth came, we rose with everybody else. That's the problem. Okay? And so let's look at it. Over the last 10-plus years, the urban core of Nashville-Davidson County, which Senate District 19 sits in, has been largely gentrified. That means resources have been placed into blighted neighborhoods and communities that was poverty-ridden, tore up properties and things, the trash and things of that nature. People have brought money in to build it up. Well, where did this money come from? It was your money. And our city government chose to use it to provide bonds to developers. And these developers came in, built these nice houses, these skinny houses, these buildings and what have you, see, and so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, when they got through, the people that lived there sometimes for decades can't live there no more. Well, they're mad. And they're looking to direct their anger and their frustration at somebody. I would encourage you to control your emotions, not be mad, but be reasonable. And that's why this vote is so important in November. Because you need leadership that's going to address that problem head on. All right? What has happened is we see parts of North Nashville still under development, East Nashville, South Nashville, West Nashville, right? And we see this transformation of a different city culture. In fact, I saw a news article where there was a clash between people about whether or not you want to get rid of the fairgrounds and bring some other development in and things of that nature, right? This has been brewing over a period of time. Now, this migratory surge does pose a challenge for those who have lived in Nashville. Now, I must admit, I wasn't born and raised here, though I've been here 31 years now. My children are native Nashville. But the truth of the matter is there are people who've been here all of their life, their families have, and they feel displaced. Okay? Well, some of the issues that pop up, we hear, and I hear folk running for office, spouting them out there to strike emotion, people's emotions. Affordable housing, right? Increased concerns for public safety, right? Failing schools, economic disparities. Let me tell you something. When I ran as a write-in candidate for this same seat in 2014, those were the same issues that existed then. The question is, what has happened with leadership over the last soon to be 4 years that these things continue to get worse and not better? All right? Now, I'm one of those who have been running my mouth about what needs to be done, how it could and should be done. And I consider myself a hypocrite if I didn't at least run to try to make that difference, since I have ideas about how to fix those problems. And guess what? I took them to my elected officials. Oh, yeah, all the way on the federal level, to my senator, to my U.S. Congressional District Representative, right? My state senator, House of Representatives, even the mayor's office and the councilman. Yes, I did. Why you do that, Doctor? Because I'm sick and tired of seeing our people suffer. I was asked the other night about starting from the grassroots level as a politician. I said, I'm sick and tired. I'm tired of politicians, professional politicians. I'm sick of that. I think you are too. It's time for a change, and it's time for leadership, and it's time for people to represent their constituency and not just be wrapped up in the game of politics. All right, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. Here's some things that I think can be done. What we need in our Senate district of people is the type of leadership. Let me explain something. My doctorate degree is in leadership, okay, and my master's degree as well. The thing you should understand about leadership is this. An effective leader is one not who micromanages everything, but who's able to look at those that are part of a team, tap into their best skills and resources, and allow them to work as one system. All right? So they're able to provide the guidance, the support, to make all those things operate as one. That's what leadership is. Now, if you go to state office and you're sitting on your rump and the only people are prospering are you and close friends, I'm sorry, that's poor example of leadership. Well, how you got 192,000 plus souls in Senate District 19. Well, doctor, how you going to reach all the people at one time? Leadership requires planning and strategic organization. You've heard me talk about the three prongs of my campaign. Voter education, you need to know what the matters are, what the resources and opportunities. Voter organization, I'm going to stop right there, put a pin right there. And you're going to find on my website information at constituentadvocacy.com under the platform. You're going to find a presentation, PDF presentation, about a precinct governance council model. And this is the organizational model for every voting precinct within the Senate district. And when that is done, the people themselves are engaged, and they give me a blueprint or a job description as to what I need to do for them in the state senate on their individual levels at your voting precinct. The truth is, what is needed in the Goodlettsville or Jolton area of the Senate district is different from what is needed in Madison, perhaps, right? Or it's different from what is needed over in East Nashville off of Shelby or South 7, South 8, out in Antioch. Huh? And if you don't know this, and you're saying, you're talking, you're having discussions about in the budgetary process, allocating resources for your constituents. Well, you need to know where they are and what the needs are. But the people need to be engaged in the process of identifying those needs and sending a clear message as to how they can and should be reasonably met. All right? And that's what we're talking about. Listen, even though we have 21 council districts and 47 voting precincts, I operate from the idea that you see on one of your currency, on our currency in the United States. E pluribus unum. It's a Latin phrase, which means from one comes many. Even though there are a number of us and we're in different places, guess what? We don't have to be singled out or divided. Again, e pluribus unum, from the one Senate district are the many interests, needs, resources, opportunities of your voting precincts. All right? What do you say, Brother Mason? Now give me a call here, 657. Pick your phone up. Just pick your cell phone up. Give me a call, 657-383-0944, and we'll be happy to holler at you. Let me know how you're feeling. Tell me how you're doing. I got a call here on the line. How you doing there, 615-5489? How you doing tonight?
Man, I'm all right. How you doing?
Man, we're holding the road. We're just trying to educate people, man.
Yeah, I heard something just as soon as I tuned in. I was amazed by that because it takes a learning to find out, though. But you got to be always ready to be schooled. You know, I was told that one day a guy said to me, he says, when the students show up, the teacher would appear.
All right.
Being a student of some of the things that's going on in the communities, man. I just heard you say something about Antioch. I thought maybe that was living large and everything was smooth sailing. But I didn't get a chance to hear it all that you were talking about. But just that little bit reminded me that the spreading of the unrighteousness and the ways of going about it is continually some kind of way. I can hear you saying that. And if you don't know about it, then it's time to get to know.
Well, I'll give you an example, for instance. And this is one of the things that are on my platform if you go to the website, and that is addressing public safety issues. It's my understanding that today in Antioch, there was another shooting in Antioch today. Broad daylight. Right? Do you think it was somebody from another country that was shooting those young people? East Nashville, the other day, young man, unfortunately, I understand he expired recently from that shooting. Another young man is locked up, right, because of the shooting. Do you think somebody came from China or Japan or Russia to kill these people? No, these were people that live right here in Senate District 19. Okay? Now, why is it that so many young people are at the ready to destroy? Just imagine if they had economic opportunities and they were busy running their own business or enterprise or being a part working for some established business or enterprise that they were close to and they understood. Can we keep them from engaging in such destructive malice? I think so. Well, where's the leadership? That's the question. I keep coming back to that. See, if you want somebody to be to vote you in, what you going to do? You understand? You heard Janet Jackson say, what have you done for me lately? You understand? I'm not trying to tell you to be like Janet Jackson or nothing like that. I'm just saying, though. You understand what I'm saying?
Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful, though. You know, when you speak words like that and you can understand them, and what you're saying is, like, who's going to teach the people that are qualified and possibly willing to learn only if the teacher would appear. So there's a lot of people that's out there willing to learn, I'm sure, because they're learning things as we speak. It just caused a lot of destruction to come from it. And you made known of the shooting and the things of that nature. So when you talk about shootings and self-destruction, it fits in the realm of the reason why it's taking place. No teachers are hitting the streets. I think that's what you're basically saying. Because they're learning, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And if you give me just a moment,
yeah.
I can only imagine to think about, you know, recalling about the past. I learned some things. And the things that I learned, I participate in the things that I was learning. And I became in agreement with it. And then I started to like it. And then I ended up loving it. So the process of it is you can take to the streets, as you was talking about, a great lesson that people can learn it. Maybe they'll try it, like it, and start loving it. And then you can see them. I heard you say can open their own businesses and things like that. Man, that made me feel real bad. Yeah. You know?
Well,
go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I've been asked about that. Is that realistic? Can that really happen? Well, let me tell you something. In the budget of the Tennessee government, there's an office called the Economic and Community Development, right? And let me tell you how much money over the last 4 years have been allocated and what those monies are supposed to do. All right? $596 million, $772,800 have been allocated over the last 4 years just under this area right here for these programs. Now, you know, each Senate district and representative is supposed to be proportioned, right, in terms of what resources they receive from budgetary funding and distribution on the state level, right? And your senator is supposed to be there fighting for you, right? Okay? Well, in Senate District 19, each of our 21 council districts could have reasonably, and it may not always pan out this way. I understand it. Let me be clear about that. But somewhere around $18,084,024 could have been set aside if the people were organized and told the senator, this is how we wanted to be spending, and if you just give us a reasonable portion, based on us being a part, one of the 33 senatorial districts. This is our reasonable portion we're asking you for. We know it's there because it's been allocated. We just ain't saw it, that's all. If we break it down per council district, about $8,061, $144 or so can go to every council district. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen just like that, but when the people articulate to their elected officials what it is they need and what they want and what they demand and hold them accountable to, guess what? You'll see more benefits and dividends on the money that's spent in your name. Don't
wow.
pay your taxes,
man,
but they pay. Try to play that game about not paying your taxes.
mm-hmm.
Huh?
See what happened, huh? Yeah,
try to put some
happened,
up
huh?
in your neighborhood, put some add addition on your house, and don't pay that fee to get that. And see what happens.
Okay.
Try to hold a business around here, and don't pay Uncle Sam and the state for your business taxes and what have you. And see what happens. See, won't they get revoke your business? You're registered as a business with the Secretary of State. Check me out. If you don't believe me, check it out. So you understand
okay.
what I'm saying? Now, you'll remember that
yeah.
this country was started because people were angry that they were being taxed without proper representation. Talk to me, somebody.
So you're basically still saying that there's a price that you have to pay for not knowing.
Yes, sir.
You say because there was a lot of money, you say, that was available. But the price that was paid for not knowing, I think it talks about it when it said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. I think it
yes,
talks from
right.
something to that.
So who was supposed
to know about that? Did anybody know about that should have said something about it? I don't know. I'm trying to find out if that's something that, you know, you're saying somebody knew about it or they just withheld it from them or they didn't care.
One person that should have known, sir, is your elected officials. Because at the beginning of the legislative session, it's my understanding that major discussions were held about how monies were going to be allocated that were in the state capers for different programs
mm-hmm.
under different categories. And my question is, where was my state senator? Now, you happen to be talking to somebody who wrote grants, and I know that you're supposed to be able to access some of these resources through the government, right? So when I go and
okay.
I ask for them, and folk tell me, well, ain't no money, you lying to me. Somebody mm. lying, because there's plenty of money up there. Now, I understand if you say to me I have to do something to prove myself worthy to qualify for it or go, that's okay. Even then, I want my elected official to train me how to properly access and approach these resources. The bottom line is, sir, is we have not collectively been kept in the loop about who, what, when, where, and why. And I hold, and if I'm your state senator, I want you to hold me accountable the same way. See, we need to quit playing games with people, man. You're talking about vote for what? You can play games with me again? No, I don't think so.
So you are saying hold them accountable? Is that basically what you're saying? They should be held accountable for that?
I'm going to make it personal since I'm running for office. Yes, sir. Hold me accountable.
And I'm going to show you how.
And I'm going to show you how to hold me accountable to you as a constituent.
You putting yourself out there now. You know that, right?
Is that what you're supposed to do? Yes, sir. Sir, when you run and you
mm-hmm.
want to assume the seat, you put yourself out there.
Oh, okay. I just want to kind of
you understand what
sure.
I'm saying?
Yeah, because I was
and the only person I know who put themselves out there and didn't ask for it and didn't deserve all the negative things he got is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
He ain't done nobody wrong.
Innocent.
Now, innocent. I'm not going to preach because we're talking about Tennessee Senate District 19 right now. But I felt my help right there. I almost went there, but I ain't going to go there tonight. I'm going to hold back, Doctor. Now, so.
Well, it's interesting. Let me ask you this, though. It's really interesting, though. I'm saying this as a person of ignorance, you know, and unaware. You can combine it all together and say, I just don't know. And seeking
okay.
information, you know, to find out, you know, what is the purpose of voting for those people that's running for those positions? Basically, what you're, I think, talking about as well. Is it just to vote and say, hey, I like them, or vote because I heard that they can do? What causes a person to know that they're going to be held accountable and follow through? Because they may sound like they're talking a good talk, and they sound like they're genuine, and they're really for the people. I mean, and then when that time comes and the position is fulfilled, then it should be action. I think that's basically something should be taking place at that point.
Sure.
Because they have the
sure.
piece. They have the they've been selected to be that person. And so
right.
what do? They don't follow through is what I like to ask.
Well,
you say, hold them accountable. And that's what you're
that's
talking
a
about.
Big question. That is a man, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. So the deal is it's two things that factor into low voter turnout. And that's voter unawareness and apathy. Just don't care anymore. What happens is when you're not aware of what the people that you vote in should be doing and how they should be doing that and when they should be doing that, it leaves you in the blind, in the dark. And so when you're disappointed, you start to say, I just don't care no more. I ain't going to even vote. I don't care. They're going to do what they want to. That's the apathy, right?
Mm.
And so what I'm saying is how you know is everything I'm talking about in terms of this legislative process is on the Tennessee State Government website. It's not private information. It's not hidden. It's there. You can go to your public library and access the Tennessee Blue Book, I'm sorry, which will describe every aspect of government in the whole 9 years. They updated every legislative session. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not giving you nothing that you can't find on your own, but the average electorate or voter is busy living their life and doing what they're doing to take care of their family. That's why we elect individuals to take care of that force in government. When they go there and they only look out, whether they are doing it intentionally or not, for themselves, when your needs are not met and it hits your doorstep and you got young girls now carjacking folks. Huh?
What?
Come on now. 13-year-old reportedly. On the run from the police. I don't know if they caught it yet. Carjacking somebody with some other little dudes. A ring of young children under the age of 18 driving around putting pistols on folks, telling them to give me your car. Come on now.
Well, that could be done for fun too now. I want you to know that that could be done for fun. Whatever the reason is going on is basically what you're saying. And I want to go back to, you know, the way that you're talking. You sound very, very, very intelligent and good. And I believe that you would carry it out like anyone else that would talk the same language. We should believe that they're going to carry it out, correct? But would you say, from what I heard you say earlier, if you're not, and I just say if, because I'm believing the way you present yourself, you put yourself out there because that's what you're supposed to do, and to follow through with this action that comes from it. Now,
that's right.
If the action is not taking place, what do we do knowing that you're not doing what you said and what you've been talking about? Should we wait? Should we give you time? Should we just say, okay, that person is not doing what they said that they was going to do from the start? What do you do?
Okay,
you
that, I see where you.
Yeah,
you I see where you win. Question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So help
so
me with
the,
that.
What I'm hearing from you is, at what point do you take action if you know they're not, if you know, for instance, I'm not right? Well, now, the time, sir, to take the action is between now and November the 6th, because you're going to be able to vote only one person in office, and that individual will be there for 4 years until it's time to be for that election again. After they end, unless they do something grossly wrong, go to jail or die, something like that, you're going to have to deal with them, whether they're serving your need or not. So right now is the time. That's why I'm holding these conversational dialogues and educational forums and what have you. So right now you can make the right choice. There are people running right now who want to be the Democrat that's going to be on the ballot in November. Well, you know I'm going to be there and another individual, so there'll be people. The question you have to ask yourself is, which of these three people have articulated in an intelligible fashion what it is they can do to be accountable to me over the next 4 years? So right now, that's what you ought to be doing. Not just going out to vote for somebody out of emotion or because they belong to a political party. No, no, no. We need to change that. See,
no.
You go to the grocery store and you they tell you at the register your stuff costs you 25 cents. You hand them a dollar, and they tell you, okay, thank you, sir, goodbye. No. Hey,
wait,
man, where my change?
Wait a minute. Thank you, goodbye.
Yeah. No, hold up. I got some change coming, don't I?
Yeah. You have to ask for your change?
You shouldn't.
Okay.
But if you do have to ask for it, make sure you go get a manager or somebody that's in charge. Tell them, look here, you need to get this person off the register because they either don't know how to count or trying to steal my money from me.
My goodness, man.
Help me somebody. Now,
there's a lot of work to do.
As it relates to the change we need right now in leadership, we've been paying taxes and been rendering under Caesar. But the people have got what they need. It's time for a change.
Yes.
Then doctor just said, I'm going to get your change. Huh?
It's interesting. Come and get your change.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's interesting. I think that's very interesting. I'm hearing that. I'm hearing the power of what can take place, you know, and you're speaking about the things that you would do. Now, I got to ask this question because you said something about now until November. And then you made known of whoever had that slot is going to be for 4 years. So you're telling me, as you strive from this point to November, you're doing the work, right? And then to be elected, you will continue from that day to the four years doing continual work? My goodness. That's the kind of people, the person I would say that the people want to have in there is somebody that's going to do the work. Because for 4 years, if you're doing the work with 4 years, man, something's going to change when you're doing the work. Yeah. It can't help but to change. My goodness, that's interesting, I must admit. I had to ask that question because, go ahead.
No, finish your question, your thought.
Yeah, I was meditating on that thought because that time frame of doing the work right now to November, it's interesting, but it's a short period of time. It seemed like, you know, once November take place and this slot is accepted and it belongs to the person, and at that point that person is working and the person is not doing anything contrary to what he was doing from this point to the November slot. And get it from November to the fourth year, man, that would be very interesting to see someone doing the work like that, man. I mean, put that type of energy in making a difference. So,
you know,
it sounds really
it's amazing as I listen to you. It sounds like that's a real novel, brand new thing. And the sad part about it, that's what you ought to have been doing in the first place. That's why the people elect you.
My. That is awesome.
And that's why I'm pushing for change in 2018. What are we changing? We're changing how we select and hold accountable representation, not by a political party. If they so happen to be a member or associated with it, fine. But that should not be the defining characteristic or a factor. What's most important is when you get to the state senate, you don't just represent a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. You're supposed to represent everybody's interests.
Okay.
Everybody. You understand?
Everybody.
The governor is supposed to represent all of the residents of Tennessee's interests, not just their party. That's one of the things that I personally have an issue with when people feel as though, well, if I get there, I got to advance a certain agenda. Well, you ought to have a platform that reflects the interests and the needs of the people that you represent. Some of them may be Democrats, some of them may be Republicans, but it ought to be something that unifies all of them and bring all of them together under one what? Consideration for moving forward as a Senate district. That's what.
Man, how do you do that?
Well, you organize from the precinct level up, and I have, you'll see that on my website, the Precinct Governance Council model. You organize from the lowest level of political boundaries, that's your voting precinct in your neighborhood, all the way up to anybody that wants your vote to to represent you. Of course, we, you know, we got another 5 minutes now before this session is over, but go to www.constituentadvocacy.com. I have a video there where I've taken time to walk through this presentation I've been speaking from. It's a PDF that accompanies the video. Take your time and look at it. You don't look all over today. Look at the first 15 minutes a day. Go back tomorrow, look at the next 15. But learn the information. Get the information. And be ready to hold me accountable next Friday. See, if my stuff ain't right, call me and check. Put me on the carpet. I appreciate you, sir, for calling me and asking these questions. That's what we want to do, man. That's where it is. You know, I shouldn't be able to just float and take your money and you'd get nothing. Is that right, sir?
No, I mean, that's why I thought I would ask these questions, because I heard you say something that was interesting. I've always heard of Antioch. Maybe it's because I'm not out in the world as much, but I still thought Antioch was a place that was bringing forth peace. And I know you mentioned Shelby and other places like that, and you know, but I just tuned in. And the only thing hitting me really hard was when you said Antioch, so I had to ask those questions, and these questions are valuable to ask. Because if unrighteousness and if a lot of destruction is going on and it's going out further, that's saying that's a big problem, man. That is. So, yeah. Well, I'd be encouraged, though. Be encouraged.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that. I want to say thank you to Jeff Moore, to Brother Keith, and to Tracy, who's tuning in to us. Thank you, guys. I realize you may not have had anything you want to offer tonight. I'll be back next Friday. I'll be back. No, but we thank you. The point of this, again, is for us to have this open dialogue. I want you to tell your friends, take this post and share it with everybody on your Facebook page and let them know that here's an opportunity to really hold Reuben Dockery accountable to not what he says. See, politicians say what they think you want to hear, to get what they want from you. But as an advocate, I'm going to tell you what you need to know and tell you how, where there's money is. I'm going to show you how to get it. And as a friend I know said, I ain't playing with it.
Mm.
You're unique. You got a right to it. And I'm going to show you how to get it. And I ain't playing with it. How about that?
Interesting.
Thank you guys for tuning in there. We're going to soon sign off here tonight, but I want you to know that you can come back next Friday. Shoot me an email at tdscac@gmail.com. Did I say that right? I didn't even say that right, did I? Tennessee Senate District 19, cac@gmail.com. That's what it is, all right? And we'll be happy. Or you go to the website. Just go to the website, constituentadvocacy.com. My number is 615-478-4233. Give me a call. I'm generally answering that from 8 a.m. to 7 in the evening. So give us a call there. My lady on the podcast is telling me I got 90 seconds. Girl, don't be rushing me. There's a change coming. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you joining us, and we do hope you join us again. And thank you all on Facebook for joining us as well. Thank you, Tennessee Senate District 19. I'm going to leave with Tremaine Hawkins talking about a change. We'll see you next Friday. Bye.